Thank you. You know where we are going, Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to be reading from verse 6. I had started to play this just to keep our minds and what this season is all about. It's not the light. It's not the candles. It's not individual. It's the Son of God. He came when mankind didn't remember that he was coming. The prophet Isaiah, I think it was like close to 800 years, they forgot about that the Lord was coming. And he penned here in the book to remind Israel that the Messiah was coming. And so what we hear on the music part this morning, we're going to just read a little of it, what happened or what was predicted, and then I might try to do a little of the one who brought the Son of God into the world. I don't know if we'll reach there, but we'll see. One of the things I was saying, I think a couple of weeks ago, is that at this time of the year, a person traveled from far and wide to be with family, friends, and loved ones to celebrate the Christmas season. And, you know, when people get together, they think of family, food, and whatever else is there. But I think the first thing we should do is just read the scripture, read a verse showing what Christmas is all about. So I challenge you this year to do this as at your gathering. The Lord came into the world when no one think about him coming. But here was the prophet Isaiah reminding Israel that he would come. And surely enough, he did come. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 9 and reading from verse 6 and what it says here. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. And we just want to think, last week Joe did wonderful, wonderful. Sometimes you think you cannot leave out the wonderful with counselor, because, you know, he's a wonderful counselor to each and every one of us. In today's date, we have guidance counselor in the school. We have mom and dad as counselor at home. If you go to the hospital, the doctors is your counselor. Nurses is your counselor. And then you think of grandparent as your kid counselor. And it doesn't stop there. You go to the courts. If you do go to the courts, the lawyers, they are your counselor. So you have attorney at law, and they call them counselors. And even the professional sport, you have counselors. So all over this world today, you have counselor. But here was one counselor came. His name was given even before he was born. Yes? Yeah, his name was given before he was born. Your name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Right? And it did happen. It did happen. And so this morning, as we look into this one, who was mild, who was willing, who was with the Father, and the Father sent him to be the counselor of us all. the Messiah. The title in this is the word counselor. In ancient Israel, a counselor was portrayed as a wise king, such as Solomon. Everybody went to Solomon for his counsel, giving guidance to his people. And you can check these verses in 1 Kings 4 and 33 and Micah 4:9. Isaiah using this word again in chapter 28 and verse 29 to describe the Lord. This also come from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. Do you know anybody better than this? We can always take our problem to him. Your Bible is right there. That's the word he gives, his counsel. They're written right in his word. And then, when he gives us the counsel, we can pray to him. Thank him for showing us these things. Yes? Don't care about what we are going through. Don't care about the suffering, the pain, the aches. Yeah, your grandchild will bring you pain sometimes. Yeah, and you will get frustrated with them. Yeah, yeah, they do that to us. But still, we take it to the Lord in prayer. Or we read a verse. We say, sit right here and let me read you a little verse. Sometimes they're handsy, they move around. But sometimes they do sit down and listen. Yeah? Oh, yeah. But here is the counselor of our all. God is our counselor. And we go to him in prayer. Jesus is a wise counselor. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person's heart. And that's a quote there from John 2:25. He's able to advise his people thoroughly because he is qualified in ways no human counselor is. How about that? Yeah? You rather to take the counselor for a guidance counselor, a regular counselor, than the counselor of God? Yeah, but we don't do that, right? Because the counselor is right there, we use them, right? Or we go to them. Yeah? But then, when you go home, it's your duty to look up a verse, a chapter, and to see if what this person is telling you is real. You see, dear ones, we are not only regular people. We are the Lord's people. We are born again. We are God's chosen people. And so we should do different from the world. Yes? We should. Because there's coming a time when people see you and they say, I thought that guy said he was a Christian. But how is he doing that? Yeah? They're watching us. And things that we do or say, they catch us with it. So we have to be praising God at all time. At all time. He is the one that counsels. He is the one that gives us charge. He is able to advise his people thoroughly because he's qualified in ways no human counselor is. In Christ, he's hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:3, including the knowledge of all human nature. Psalms 139:1-2. And Jesus always knows what we are going through. And he always knows the right course of action. Hebrews 4:15-16. Yes, we think he does know, you know, and maybe that's why we don't take these problems to him. But he knows. He knows, and he knows what is coming around the corner. Yeah, sometimes we don't see it because our faith are so low, so small, but we have to have that faith that we put it all on the line and ask him and test him and say, Father, help me in these problems. And he will answer. If it's no, it's no. Wait on me in a little while longer. But these questions will be answered. Christ's position as our wonderful counselor means we can trust him to listen to our problems and guide us in the right direction. Proverbs 3:16. We can be sure he's listening because he told us to pray to him about our worries. And a verse for that is Philippians 4:6. All our worries, all our cares, we take it to him. Maybe I'm saying it easy, but it's not easy. Because sometimes when you go to pray to the Lord, you don't even know what to say. Father, help me. Father, I don't know what to say. Father, I'm going through this thing. Difficulties. Can you help me? Can you see me through? And he hears us. He hears us. He will answer some way or the other. But we put our trust into him. And dear ones, as we think of the Messiah coming, because the Israeli didn't realize or they forgot that he was coming. And so Isaiah penned these words to remind them that yes, he was coming again. He was going to be born as a baby. And he was going to take them out of what they were going through. Because they were going through a rough period there too. The Assyrian army was overrunning the Israeli there. And they were crushed. They were being taken to jail and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, the Messiah was coming to save them. And here we see in verse 6 it said, "For unto us a child is born." Unto us a child is born. Talking of his humanity. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ, your spirit. And he has to be one of us to come down and die for us. He was sinless. Yes. And he came and took on himself the sins of the world. The second part is, unto us a son is given. That speaks about his deity. His deity. And this is what we know. He was not of this world. But he became one of us to suffer, to die, to pay the penalty of salvation for each one of us here this morning. If you're born again, if you're living a life of Christianity, Christ came into your heart and you asked him to save you. One of the things that we always go through is that what other people are going to say. Or what are other people are going to think about me? I don't care, you know. I am at a part where my life is now I'm retired. I can just do anything. I don't think so either. You can't just sit down for 24 hours. No, somebody will tell you to get up and go do something. Yeah, but here was one. He came into the world and he adopted what the people were going through. It became sin for us. My sin, your sin, the world's sin. And he took on himself that sin. And he's saying here, and his love is so wide and so deep that me and you cannot understand it, dear ones. We can. We see a little of it. But when you think of the cross, and we think about it. Really, can we understand it? That this person was a king. This person was sinless. This person who had all the riches in the world gave that up to come down and be sinful or take on himself the sins of the world to be our substitutional debt there at Calvary. This morning, again, the news will go forth. If you're not here and you do not know him, you have this privilege to ask him into your heart. We cannot fully understand the love of God because he loved us so much that he didn't care. The Father turn his back upon his son. Yes? Yeah. And he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was for me and you, my dear. It was for you and me. And he take it all, dear, at Calvary for our sins. I'll just say this again. And his love is so wide and deep and wonderful that we cannot fully understand it. The day is coming when we shall see him as he is. Joe talked about the wonderful last week, and he is wonderful. Today, he's our counselor. And verse 7, let's look at verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And he's going to come, the first part of this was his first advent or his first coming. The second part is his second advent or his second coming. When he is going to come here, he's going to come and he's going to set up his kingdom. His kingdom, can you imagine? We will be in that throne of people. He's going to set up his kingdom on the throne of David. He will rule with wisdom, truth, justice, and there will be no more war. There will be peace forever. Peace, perfect peace. That's the only time peace is going to come into this world. Can you imagine? No more peace until the God of glory, the great one, come and take us home forever to be with him. Yes, these are some of the things that we learn. He's setting up his kingdom with peace and justice for all. You hear people talk about there's no justice. Yes, there's no justice because only one person can bring us justice. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one. He's the ruler of the world. He's the counselor. He knows everything. He sees everything. And he gives us the right counsel. Today, my friend, we have this privilege to continue to serve him in righteousness and justice. Proverbs 11:14 say, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The Lord is our counselor. We cannot read his word and pray to him. We can read his word and pray to him at all time. This morning again, we think of the Christmas spirit. Here this one was announced as a baby. And this was experienced because a young lady who was just a maidservant, Gabriel appeared unto him, and he said, hail, highly favored one. And the greeting was shocked her, because she was a princess, somebody who's high in power or rich. She was just a servant, a little servant. And he was shocked. Let's read that. I call it Mary's prayer, Mary's song, or some people call it the Magnificat. So we know we are going to Luke chapter 1. And when the angel appeared to him, to her, she was kind of frightened, surprised, and she was afraid too, because the angel said to her, be not afraid. We just want to pick it up from verse verse 38 first, before we go into it. Then Mary said, "Behold, maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And so we see right there, Mary was just obedient. In her own mind, she realized this wasn't something of, say, come and see me. This was of God doing. This was something of the Lord. And she was going to be bearing the mother. She was going to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can she turn her back on that? Let it be to me. Let it be to me. And so Mary decided to take a little break from where she was living. She wanted to go to see the elderly state lady, somebody who could give her advice, somebody who was a little older than her, or maybe much, much older than her. So here we read in verse 39, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entering the house of Zacharias, and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.' And then she said, 'But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believe, for there will be fulfillment of these things.'" And so Mary took what was going to happen to her, but now she went to the hill country to visit this Elizabeth, because, you know, she was pregnant for 6 months, and something that in this modern days couldn't happened, because the scriptures tell us, with God, all things are possible. She was well in advanced age, should not bear a child, but this was the doing of the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, a miracle. And what she did, she was hiding in her house. Yeah? Because she was so elderly, or old, can I say that? That she didn't want the young people to see her. And here is Mary going to her home to have counsel with her. Yeah? Does that seem good? Yeah. Here is a elder statement. Here is the elder giving counsel to those who need it, to those who want counsel. And yes, there is people who need counsel all around us. Your grandkids need counsel. You tell them to stop. And they still continue. And then you said, "All right, come sit in the corner here. Take a 5-minute break." That cooled them down for a little while. Yeah? Yeah, children too. Your own children do that. Even the big kid children do that. But God knows their heart. And yes, Mary was willing. She was going to bring the mother. She was going to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing could stop her. She wanted to get feedback, because Elizabeth was 6 months far in advance. And, you know, her pregnancy was immediate. Right there as the angel left, she knew she was pregnant. That's why she went to Elizabeth to get counsel. And she was there for like 3 months. Can you imagine? 3 months getting counsel, getting in what's happening to you in the first month, and all these kind of motherly talk and wife talk and so forth. And yeah, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, was seeking counsel. We seek counsel too. We seek counsel. But it has to be the good counsel. The good counsel. Our counselor is God Himself. And I'm just going to read it, the Magnificat. This is what Mary said while she was there. I don't know if she said it in the presence of Elizabeth, but here she was saying this. Verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arms. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to her fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Isn't that a lovely quote here? Here was one who was weak, one who was just a maidservant, one who wasn't rich, one who wasn't looking to move up the ladder. But he trusted in God. She trusted in God. And she was able to bring the Son of God into the world. Galatians 4:4, we know that verse. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Yeah, this morning, our great counselor is still available to us, because now he sits on the right hand of the Father's throne, making intercession for us, or asking God to pardon us from all our sins, because he died for the sins that we will ever committed. Mary, after she talked there with Elizabeth for the next 3 months, get some insight of what it means to bring her first child into the world. And this child wasn't no ordinary child. This was the Savior of mankind. I think I get this in book here, and I was looking over it, and there's a song. I want to just quote the verse, and it said, verse 1 say, "All praise to him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave his Son for man to die, that he might man redeem." And then the third verse, I'll skip the second verse, the third verse said, "His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdom conqueror, whose reign shall never cease." And that's what is going to happen. Once he set up his kingdom, there will be no more war. There will be perfect peace forever. Forever. And the stanza, the refrain said, "Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord." Are you here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior? you have this chance to ask him into your life. Let's pray. Father and God, we thank you again for your word this morning. We thank you that we were sinners, that we had no hope, that we were heading for lost eternity. And Father, you gave your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to mankind, to the world, to come and die for us. We thank you that that babe of Bethlehem this morning is king, and he sits at the right hand of your majesty, making intercession for us. Father, bless your word this morning. We think of those who are going through difficulties, things that, Father, we do not know. We pray you might continue to encourage them and just come alongside, Father, and watch over them. Think of those who are sick, who are laid aside. We pray for them, our Father. And continue, Father, to just be a blessing to your people this day. Help us to go out and serve you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity again to open your word and to say the word that God love each one of us. We give thanks in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen.